Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae,
proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
Welcome back to Future Proof on News Talk. I'm Jonathan McRae. Now, if you've been listening to this programme at all over the last 15 years, you'll know that electricity is not my strong point, but static electricity is just about simple enough for me to get my head around. We all understand that if I rub a balloon against my hair, charge will be exchanged and the balloon will stick to things afterwards because of the difference. Now, I'm just reading this from a script. I don't understand it. I don't. We're going to have to start with the very beginnings. But it's quite interesting, actually. Scott Wojtukaitis is assistant professor at the Institute of Science and Technology in Austria, in Klosterneuburg. That is quite the title, Scott. You're very welcome. Let's start off, because actually static electricity is not as simple as people might think, but I really struggle with everything when it comes to electricity. It seems like magic to me. What happens when I get an electric shock?
Okay, so when you get an electric shock, what you're actually doing is trying to discharge your static electricity. But the really weird thing happens is why you get charged in the first place to give that shock. And so, you know, typically objects are electrically neutral. They have just as much negative charge as positive charge. But when you scuffle your feet across the carpet, you exchange charge with the carpet. So you get charged up and then you go to, you know, kiss your partner or touch a doorknob and you get a nasty shock.
Okay, really, so to stop there, because you're going to have to hold my hand all the way through this, I'm afraid. So when you say we get charged, so I'm rubbing my feet against the carpet right now. What is happening that's charging me up? I'm absorbing electrons?
Well, the truth is we have no idea. So I can tell you, you know, let's say you start out electrically neutral. You rub your feet on the carpet.
Do you mean, when you say electrically neutral, do you mean everyone is born, like you know, when you're born sterile, like everyone is born electrically neutral, or we remain electrically neutral until a certain point?
Yeah, basically, if you have an object that you've left alone, like say a balloon that you put on the shelf, and you don't touch that balloon, you don't move it around, you just leave it there, over time, slowly, it will discharge, it would become electrically neutral. But as soon as you touch that balloon or rub that balloon, the contact between the other surface will cause it to exchange charge. So it'll become non-neutral again. And the same thing is going on with your feet, you know, scuffling across the carpet. It's the contact with the other object, the rubbing, that causes them to exchange charge.
Okay. And so when you say charge, when you say this thing is charged, do you mean it has more electrons, or does it mean that electrons are going in a particular direction? Like when you say it's charged after being touched, what do you mean by that?
So when it's neutral, it has the same number of electrons and protons.
Yeah.
When it's charged, it means that there's more of one of those than the other.
Okay.
Now when two objects touch, and let's say you rub the balloon on your hair and the balloon becomes negatively charged and the hair becomes positively charged, I don't know if that's because the hair gave electrons to the balloon, or maybe the balloon gave positive ions to the hair. We actually don't know even something as simple as that.
Oh, okay. So you have no idea what the direction flow is. I mean, can it be both at the same time?
It could in principle. That's possible. It would be unpleasant if that were true, because it'd be much more complicated. People that work in this topic like to think and hope that it's probably just one species involved, say electrons. But we don't know, because it's actually, you know, it's easy to see that something is charged. It's very hard to put a little name tag on those charges and identify what they are.
Okay, so let me just think about this for a second. You said if we leave a balloon on the shelf, which is quite a sad image, really, but let's just put that aside. So we have this balloon on the shelf, untouched and unloved, and you see it slowly loses any charge. Where does that charge go? Into the air? Is it like air molecules strip off ions here and there? Or how does it become negatively charged or neutrally charged?
So you put it on the shelf, and let's say it's charged.
Uh-huh.
Two things will happen. One is indeed that the air has ions floating around. And if the balloon is, say, negatively charged, then the positive ions of the air will slowly get drawn to the balloon more than the negative ones to discharge it. The other thing that happens is every surface has a bit of water on the surface. And water is a pretty good electrical conductor, at least, you know, when it's mixed with kind of salty things, like, you know, natural water is. And so actually you can have charge also just conduct on the surface until it spreads out over the stuff nearby.
And so that is essentially sort of electrons sort of spreading and thinning out until their charge is almost unrecognizable or unmeasurable?
Well, actually, again, in this case, the charge is not the things that are moving are not electrons. So in the air, the charges that are around are actually mostly ions.
Okay.
And then on the surface where you have the water, water mostly conducts electricity through protons.
What?
So it's all pretty complicated, yeah.
So what about the materials themselves? Because like there are some materials that are super prone to static electricity, like balloons and hair, for example. Surely there's something in the material of rubber or of hair that makes them more prone to being charged or discharged?
Yeah, in general, the material matters. And this is kind of a funny thing. So when you think of doing a static electricity experiment, you think of balloon, you think of glass, you think of plastic. And these are all materials that are horrible electrical conductors.
Yeah.
So they're materials where the inside the material charge does not move easily at all. And yet when you touch them together, they exchange a lot of charge. And, you know, for example, when you think of rubbing two things together to see static electricity, you don't think of rubbing two metal forks together, even though metals are great electrical conductors. So yeah, materials matter, and it's counterintuitive. The ones that exchange charge the best on contact are actually the insulators, not the electrical conductors.
Right. And so by rubbing these materials together, what's happening? So if you think of rubber, it doesn't really... The surface of a balloon, for example, that doesn't hold charge very well?
Oh, no, it holds charge extremely well. So what happens is you take the balloon and, you know, the hair, they touch. Some little charge, again, we don't know the identity, decides to jump over. And now the balloon has one charge, say negative, and the hair positive. And actually, on the insulators, the charge tries to stay put where it was deposited. But of course, like I said, over time, you know, maybe an opposite charge from the air comes in to discharge it, or maybe the charge slowly moves on the surface to discharge it. But those are pretty slow processes compared to the contact. Like, you know, the contact can happen in a second, and those other processes can take, you know, days and even weeks.
Why do we not know this? I mean, electricity is something that obviously is super useful, very well studied. You know, we use it in all sorts of things. We research 2D materials and the transfer of electricity. We study piezoelectricity to see if, you know, fabrics can generate and store electricity. Why do we not know how static electricity works?
I mean, I could go into this for a long time, but, you know, historically, the study of all electricity started with static electricity. And, you know, like Coulomb and all of these great physicists from the, you know, 15 and 1600s were really focused on why, when I touch two materials together, do they exchange charge?
Mm.
Eventually, the battery came along, and I attribute a lot of the kind of lack of interest in static electricity to the battery because it gave a way for people to charge stuff without rubbing it together. Now, zoom to the future. And what's happened in the last 100 years is, you know, people think this is such an antiquated topic that they assume it must be understood already.
Right.
So part of the problem in recent years, you know, last 100 years, it's just people think it's already solved, so they don't look into it. But when you look into it, what you find is we don't know what charge materials exchange when they touch, and we don't know why. So basically everything's an open, you know, completely open.
So tell me about your research and why this understanding this might be useful.
Yeah, so we do a very funny thing, which is we study when identical materials exchange charge. So at least, you know, if you do a balloon and hair, you say, okay, they're different. Something's different about them. Therefore, charge should go in one direction.
Yeah.
What we study is two identical materials. They're as identical as you can possibly make them, and yet charge still flows between them when they touch. And typically, charge flows in one direction. And this is interesting because in nature, there are a lot of systems of identical materials that collide a lot and get really charged. So a good example is if you have a dust storm, say in the Sahara, most of those sand particles are quartz. And yet they collide and bounce and rub all over each other in these sandstorms. And you can actually have lightning in the sandstorm because they're getting so charged. The same thing happens in volcanic eruptions. So you can find beautiful images online of lightning during volcanic eruptions.
Yeah.
Same thing happens on the surface of Mars. So it was actually just shown a few weeks ago that there's lightning on Mars from Martian dust storms. And this is interesting too, because on Earth, it's thought that you know, the first kind of primordial chemicals for life were made from electrostatic discharges. And so if there's, you know, the kind of soup of life on Mars, it's probably because of static electricity.
Right. And so talk to me about what you were doing, because you were using a technique called acoustic levitation to levitate a sphere of oxide in the air. Can you talk me through that?
Yeah. So we've been recently working with oxides, which are basically, you know, some of the most common materials in nature. So like quartz is basically silicon dioxide.
Okay.
So it's a really nice class of materials to work with because it has a lot of natural relevance. But doing a collision or a touch between two oxide particles is difficult. They're so hard physically that when you do a single touch together of two samples, the contact area is minuscule. And that means in a single, say, collision between two sand particles in the desert, little charge is exchanged. So it really takes a lot of collisions to build charge up.
Right. Because otherwise you'd be getting a lightning storm every time you walk down the beach.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they charge up a lot, but they charge up a little at a time for each collision. So that's hard because you need a really good resolution to your measurement to see how much is exchanged when they touch. The second thing that's hard is if you hold whatever you're working with anything like a pair of tweezers or a rubber glove or you name it, you're going to transfer a lot of unwanted charge to the object by touching it to hold it.
Yeah. If you are trying to measure the movement of electrons or ions from one thing to another, you can't touch the thing because then you're messing up your experiment.
Exactly. And so what we're doing in our lab is we're using lots of different techniques in levitation where we levitate the object. And that way we can make it touch something without physically touching it to do so.
Right.
In our experiment, you know, we levitate a sphere of oxide above
with
a plate.
A spell, or how do you do that?
Oh, yeah, sorry. In this case, we use acoustic levitation. So acoustic levitation, yeah. You can levitate stuff with sound. It's really awesome. but basically, if you have, you know, sound is pressure waves, right? Pressure exerts forces. And if you just manipulate sound fields in a very clever way, you can lift stuff up with sound.
How do I not know this?
I mean, it's actually, you know, in the research world, it's, you know, tons of people doing it. But
just for a second, on a side note, I know it's not the relevant point, but like, is it a very loud sound or is it a very sharp sound? Could we hear it? Would we damage our ears?
Yeah, the sound is obnoxiously loud, but good for us, it's an ultrasound.
Okay.
So we can't hear it. Now, we don't bring any dogs to the lab because I think they would really not appreciate it.
Right, okay. So you're using sound to levitate this piece of quartz to be able to measure the charge from one piece of quartz to another piece of identical quartz, which theoretically shouldn't release any charge because they're both neutrally charged and therefore, because they're made of the same thing, there shouldn't be any transfer. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, bingo. So we levitate a quartz sphere above a quartz plate, and then we turn off the levitation so the sphere falls and bounces off the plate. We catch it again with the sound, and in principle, they should not exchange charge because they're the same exact damn thing, but they do exchange charge always, and in fact, every sample behaves like a completely different material, even though they're the same exact material.
Huh. Why would that be?
Well, you know, that's the question that we wanted to answer.
Mm.
Because clearly there must be something different about the samples for them to have charge move in one direction or the other.
Right, because if they were absolutely identical, had exactly the same neutral charge, so they had no electrons waiting to, you know, extra electrons waiting to find a material to go to, or vice versa, then you should be able to move them around and have no charge whatsoever, but you're seeing some sort of transfer. So does that sound like maybe the materials are not as pure as they need to be, or is there something else at play?
Yeah, I mean, of course, there must be something different about them. Otherwise, they would not, you know, transfer charge at all. And the thing that we found is it's nothing to do with differences, say, in the bulk inside of the material, but actually it's differences on the molecules from the air that adsorb to their surfaces. And adsorb is just a fancy way of saying stick. So any object in any environment will develop kind of a layer of molecules on its surface that it kind of attracts from its environment. And really this is like a monolayer of molecules.
I see.
But that cocktail you get it's really variable because, you know, you're picking up trace molecules that depend on, you know, the room you're in, the humidity, whether or not someone's eating a hamburger in there, you know, whether or not there's a power plant nearby, whether or not you're on Mars versus a vacuum system on Earth. And so the main idea is it's actually those trace molecules on the surface that make everything different and are driving the effect.
Right. So if you theoretically were able to have a complete vacuum, completely perfect spheres of quartz that were levitated and didn't touch the sides, everything was completely pristine, you imagine that that charge wouldn't happen. But it's the fact that these materials can absorb or take molecules from the environment they're in, and that's what the difference is.
Exactly. And in fact, we can take two samples. So the thing that, of course, clued us into this is what matters is we have a way to remove all of the molecules. So for a brief moment, they're clean, the objects, really, truly clean on their surface. But because you're always in some kind of environment, the molecules start slowly redepositing.
Yeah.
But when we remove all of these molecules from two identical oxide surfaces, they really stop charging.
Okay.
So kind of what you're saying is true.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So what is the point of all this? Because it sounds really cool, but like, why?
Why? Oh, that's a great question. So there are so many things. I'll give you a kind of a physicist fundamental, a lofty answer, and then an application answer.
Okay.
So the lofty thing that, you know, keeps me excited is there are so many things in nature that depend on this effect. So like I said, you know, it is thought that the chemistry of life was made by sparks from static electricity. So if we don't understand how static electricity is generated, you know, we don't understand how the first amino acids came to be. And again, like I said, you know, it recently was shown that dust-derived sparks are also occurring on Mars. You know, that gives the exciting possibility that maybe even on Mars you have this kind of prebiotic chemistry. The other kind of fundamental exciting thing is, in the earliest stages of planet formation, you have a bunch of tiny oxide particles, basically. And when a planet like Earth is really small, it's hard to get these particles to stick together. But if they get charged up, they actually want to stick together more, just like a balloon in hair. But if we want to know if that actually happens in some, you know, planet-forming disk that you can see with a telescope, you have to have an idea of the mechanism, because obviously we can't go there and just measure it.
Right.
So those are, you know, the lofty things. The more practical things, this effect occurs whenever you touch any two things together. It's happening right now, just like rubbing your shirt. It's happening, you know, putting your phone in your pocket. It's happening with every step you take in your shoes. And that's actually giving access to a lot of energy that you could use. And in fact, people are building devices that like go in your clothes that you could plug your phone into, or you could charge it just by walking around. So there's, you know, a lot of technological applications if you can take advantage of this energy that's released from static electricity.
Really interesting stuff. Thank you so much for joining us. Assistant Professor at the Institute of Science and Technology, Austria, in Cluster Neuburg. That's Scott Wytukaitis. Thank you.
Yes, my pleasure.
Future Proof Extra.
With Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland.
On News Talk.